Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, I'd like to invite you to stay with me, please. It'll be about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and never any manipulation, because we do not try to hustle people. We don't have a con game here. This is not an infomercial. I'm not trying to sell you anything, and I don't have anything for you to join. I'm simply here to give you accurate information. Information that I pray will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, you have the freedom, you have the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. But as far as the flot line goes, remember this, that flot is a military term, F-L-O-T. It stands for the forward line of troops. We're using a military analogy to describe to you the Christian life and how we can function and operate in the devil's world. What I'm trying to show you is that it is impossible to avoid adversity, but it is possible to live a life free of stress. Because adversity is inevitable, but stress is always optional. Because adversity is what circumstances will do to you, and stress is what you will do to yourself. As I said last Sunday on this radio show, I'm very much familiar with the city of Granbury. I'm broadcasting in your city because I fell in love with it during a recent visit. And then to hear that you had been devastated in Cleburne and the areas around, had been devastated by tornadic activity. It was heartbreaking to hear that. But you know, just simply giving you some cliche like I did last Sunday, saying, we love you, we're praying for you, that really doesn't do much, I don't guess, except just show you that we care about you. But some meaningless platitude, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say, and what I want to say to you, is that God always has a plan. You went through some pretty horrific times recently, but in the Bible, there's a story about a man named Job. Because sometimes, I want to give you this story, I want to make an analogy here. Sometimes people think God is getting even with them. I've actually known people who've committed sin in the past, and they felt like God wrote their name down in a little book, and 10 or 15 years later, when something bad happened to them, that God was getting even with them. I assure you, that is not the way God works. I assure you that God loves you without a shadow of a doubt. He loves you. The Bible says God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What greater love does a man have than this, than to lay down his life for his friend? There's no doubt God loves you. And there's no doubt that God has a plan for your life. So it's not God, whenever we suffer a severe adversity, weather-related adversity. It could be financial adversity. It could be war-related adversity. It could be social adversity. In this case, we're talking about weather-related adversity. Something you didn't cause, something you didn't ask for, but something that happened to you. The story in the book of Job is much the same way. The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz, U-Z. Now, that's not Granbury. Uz. I don't know where that place was, but it was a real place. It says he was perfect and upright, and he feared God, and he shunned evil. This is a descriptive analogy of a man of God, a man that God would be well pleased with, maybe much like you. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're a person that God is well pleased with. And we find in this story, not really a story, but in this detail analogy, if I said story, you might think it's not true. It was very true. And we find in this recorded written word what Job went through in one day. In one simple day. The longest day of his life. And here it starts. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came in amongst them. Satan, you know, is a fallen angel. You know, at one time he guarded the throne of God, but in his arrogance he assumed that he could be like God and replace God. And in the justice of God was executed in judging him, casting him out of heaven. But he's an accuser. He doesn't want to go to the lake of fire. He knows the lake of fire is a reality, and he doesn't want to go there. And so he's simply trying to avoid that by justifying his actions. And in this case, he says to God the Father, I have been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down around the earth. Well, that's true today, too. The Bible says he goes back and forth as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Satan would love nothing more than to hinder you from believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior. Satan would love to put anger and resentment and doubt and fear in your mind because of some tragedy that you've endured. And he says to God here in verse 8 of chapter 1 in the book of Job that, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There are none like him, a perfect, upright man who respects me and avoids evil. And Satan says, doth Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge about him and about his house and all that he has on every side? And you've blessed the work of his hands, and the substance that he has is increased in the land. But if you will put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know, here it is. Satan was sure. He was sure that if he removed all of the earthly things that Job possessed, that Job would curse God. Did you hear what he said? He will curse you to your face. That would be a mighty weak person, wouldn't it? A person that loved God only because God had prospered them, only because God had blessed them. But when disaster comes, they would curse God. The Bible says in verse 13, there was a day, much like a day that you or I have endured in our life, a horrible day. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain your servants with the edge of a sword, and I'm the only one to escape to tell you about it. So all of his livestock was taken away. All his wealth in livestock stolen by the Sabaeans. And while this man was giving his report, another came up speaking and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only escaped alone, a lost, to tell you. And while he was speaking, another one came and said, the Chaldeans came out in three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain your servants with the edge of the sword. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. So he's lost all of his donkeys, all of his oxes. He's lost all of his sheep. He's lost all of his camels. He's lost everything, all of his livestock. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house, and a great wind came out from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only escaped alone to tell you. Here Job lost his family. This is all in the same day. Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshiped. This is an attitude of gratitude, even in the most horrific environment. He didn't curse God. He said this, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God with what he had done. That is a phenomenal, phenomenal attitude. Here it is in Job 5:8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. In the face of adversity, that's all we have. We don't know why things happen, but we know that our God has a plan. Nothing like this, nothing like this can be handled in a way that we can understand. And yet Job lost everything in one day and never cursed his God. So much for Satan's plan. How would I do that? How would you do that? How would we handle things like this? Well, let me explain it. First of all, we cannot do this alone. We cannot handle this alone. See, the Bible says, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you live in the devil's world. And there's nothing that Satan would rather do than to destroy you, to distract you, to discourage you, to defeat you. And if he can use adverse circumstances to do that, then certainly he will do it. If he can get you to take your eyes off of God and to put your eyes on your loss, he will defeat you and discourage you. So let's back up for a minute. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? That's the single most significant decision you could ever make, because no storm can ever take that away. No wind can ever blow away your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The words in the Bible say this, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall anyone ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand. So we may lose our home. We may lose our car. We may lose people that we love. We may lose our fortune. But we can never lose our relationship with God. We will never lose our eternal life. We will never lose what the Bible says the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and the heart has never felt, the wonderful things that God has for those that love him. We might not understand why things happen, but we do understand that God has made a provision for us. And that provision is to have confidence and courage in the face of adversity. There was a lesson in Matthew 8 that our Lord Jesus Christ had to teach his disciples. They were in the middle of a very long day. One of the longest days in the life of Christ had taken place. And after that day was over, they got into a boat to sail across the Sea of Galilee to go to a city on the other side. And once in that boat, the Lord Jesus Christ fell asleep, and all was fine. These were sailors. These were fishermen. They knew all about boats until the storm hit that night. And it wasn't just a small storm. It was maybe a force 12. It was a horrible storm. I have been on many, many lakes in horrible storms. I would imagine the winds on Lake Granbury can get pretty rough, and the waves can get pretty high, pretty scary. Lakes in Texas like Sam Rayburn at Toledo Bend, and 20 and 30 and 40 mile an hour winds can be frightening. Yet here were these disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in a terrific storm with no bilge pumps, no outboard motor to propel them across the lake, only their ability to sail or row, and they feared for their lives. They knew they were going to die, but they were not, because they were on board with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They were not on board to drown. They were not on board to perish at sea. They were on board to learn a very, very valuable lesson. It's one of the simple problem-solving devices that we all must learn. It starts with faith. It's called the faith rest drill. You know, I've told you on this radio show there are 10 unique problem-solving devices. The first problem-solving device that we all have to learn is how to rebound when we sin. We will sin. We will fail. We will make mistakes. We will choose against God from time to time. But the Bible says if we will confess our sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. This is critical because you cannot live the Christian life if you don't understand rebound. Because what rebound does is rebound institutes the filling of the Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number two. Problem-solving device number one solves your problem with your personal sin. Problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit, solves the problem of your genetically formed sin nature controlling your life. The Bible clearly says the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul talked about it in Romans 7:15 and said, I don't understand myself at all because I want to do what's right and I inevitably do what's wrong. Is that like you? Do you feel like two different people sometimes? Sometimes you want to do the right thing, but inevitably you do the wrong thing? As a Christian, as a believer, Jesus Christ sent His Holy Spirit to indwell you, to empower you, to seal you, to guide you. And without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you cannot live the supernatural life called the Christian life, because it's not lived by a set of rules that you follow. It is lived by supernatural empowerment, where the Bible says we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Where the Bible says, and clearly in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the second problem-solving device is critical if you want to use the third one. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot use the third problem-solving device without understanding the second. The third is the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God. As Moses and the Jews fled Egypt, they faced the Red Sea, and it was an obstacle that they felt they could not overcome. They looked behind, and the Pharaoh, who had released them, had now changed his mind. He had gathered his army and his chariots, and he was chasing them. And there was Moses and a couple of million Jews caught between an angry Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. And Moses said these words, stand still and watch what God's about to do. That's what you must learn. Stand still and watch what God is about to do. You know, if there's anything we do in adversity, we don't stand still. Our minds race back and forth. It's like an agitator in the washing machine, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like a dog's tail wagging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We can't concentrate. We can't lock in on one single thought because we're too busy looking at the circumstances and not the solution. The circumstances look horrific. But as Job said, and it's clear from what he said in the Bible, in Job 5:1, it was very clear. I read it to you. I want to read it one more time to you. Job 5:8, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. When you have adversity like this, when you have something that hits you, when it looks like there's no way you could recover from it, no way at all that you're even going to survive, then remember the Bible says in Job 14, man that is born of a woman is but a few days, and he's full of crisis. Yes, crisis. We live in a crisis situation. We live in a crisis world. And yet there is confidence and there is courage in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you think He doesn't know what goes on in our lives? Do you think he's not aware of what's happening to you? In Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths." God knows. He is aware of every circumstance that we go through in life, of every trial. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There have no circumstances come upon you that are not common to man." And with those circumstances, God always provides a way out. Our tendency is to worry. Our tendency is to be angry. Our tendency is to be afraid, because we focus on the situation and not the solution. You know, in that boat in Matthew 8, as those disciples began to panic that night in the storm, and Jesus Christ our Lord was asleep, they awakened him, and they asked him to save them. They were sure. They were confident. They knew they were going to die. And our Lord Jesus Christ stood up and simply said to the storm, "Be still." That's all it took. Be still. And then he turned to them and he asked them a question. "Why are you such short-time trusters? Don't you have any faith?" They had put their eyes on the storm and not on the Savior. They had begun to look at the waves and they were intimidated. They had begun to look at the sea and they assumed the situation was dire. They didn't look at the Savior. Because if you'll put your eyes on Jesus, as the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you'll put your eyes on him, he's always with you. He said, "I would never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish." In spite of what you may have endured, in spite of what you may have been through, Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, is with you. He is aware of whatever you may be facing, and he will sustain you. He will provide for you. He will comfort you if you'll let him. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there. He can give you a peace beyond the explanation. It's an amazing thing to see. When a mature believer, when a believer grows in the grace and the knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's amazing to see how he can have such a relaxed mental attitude, even in the face of adversity. Isn't it amazing to know that God is aware of every single thing that we face, of every single adversity that we go through? And through it all, the Bible clearly tells us that these are lessons that we learn that teach us great patience, great endurance. These are things that we must learn. And it's all clear in the Word of God. Sometimes we learn in different ways and we go through different situations, but we must learn. And thus, listen to Romans 5. You heard me turn the page. Listen. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but," now listen here, so coming next, listen, "but we glory in our adversity," or tribulation, as the King James Version uses the word. We glory in our tribulation because we know that tribulation teaches patience. And we know that patience breeds integrity. And integrity gives us confidence so that we're not ashamed. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit who is given to us. There it is. Could not be any plainer. We glory in our tribulation because we know that we are being taught patience. When there's no way you can solve your own problem, when there's no way that you can make it right, then you can do one or two things. You can depend on God to provide the solution or you can simply crawl up into Panic Palace and cry and scream and blame others, blame God, but never, ever have any patience, have any integrity, or have any confidence. You know, Paul the Apostle said, I've learned to live. It doesn't make any difference if I have a lot or if I have a little. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have God's Word. And in God's Word, there is a deposit, a treasure for you. It's a word treasure. It is full of promises from God the Father. This is what your confidence is based on. The provisions taught in the Word of God. And the first provision you have been given is eternal life. You have been given the provision of the Holy Spirit. You have been given the provision of the canon of Scripture called the Bible. You have been given provision of other believers like you, who love you, who care for you. Put your eyes on the provisions and don't look at the problems. Don't look at the storm like the disciples did and panic, but look at the Savior who's asleep in the front of the boat. Because when he awakened, he called them short-time trusters. Oh, they trusted him as long as things were okay. But when things got rough and death stared them in the face, they panicked. Did Job panic? Nope. Never panicked, never complained, never cursed God, even though he lost everything he had in one single day. It's an amazing way to live this Christian life, having the confidence in the power of Jesus Christ to overcome the worst circumstances that we face. But in the middle of that horrific storm, he simply stood up and said, "Be still." Not only did that calm the storm, but it calmed the hearts and the racing minds of the disciples who were on board of that boat. Think about it. Think about it in your life. And I pray that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you will be still and trust in the promises and the provisions that he provides. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.